This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark, and today I'm speaking with Anna Teo, CEO of Hernan Corporation, one of the largest durian exporters in Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Anna.
Hi, morning. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for having me here today.
Let's kick this off with congratulations, because last month it was announced that Hernan was acquired by PE firm Navis Capital, which says that they are willing to invest about 400 million ringgit in your company. And one of the stated reasons that Navis had for coming into the durian business is because of a demand for durian from China. So does this mean that you will be looking to ramp up your exports to China?
Well, yes. You know, when Navis came on board, just to share a little bit, and I have more than seven PEs that actually approached me, and why I picked Navis, they believe in what I see, where we have a huge, great China market was untouched, and we have good problems, as I always turn down a lot of orders where a big supermarkets or fruit retails chain store came to us and we just couldn't fulfill. When this came to Navis ear, they were saying that this is an awesome business and they see the huge market for this agribusiness. So,
currently, how much of your business actually does come from China? Because Hernan is one of nine companies with a license to export durian products to the Greater China region. And you do business with a number of countries, including North America, Holland. So give us a bit of a picture of where your business is geographically.
Hernan was incorporated in 1996. As of today, we have actually penetrated more than 20 countries of export. So one of the countries that really untouched for me is still China, because 1.4 billion populations. And we only supplied 30% of what we are exporting last year. So I see there's a great huge potential for us to really focus in China.
So 30%. Now, before this, you did say that you could be looking at maybe 60 to 65% of your exports going to China. Why the drop from there to 30%?
Well, as I mentioned, it's a good problem. It's a good headache where we don't have enough supply. You know, we have been going around, you know, acquiring, you know, for goods and for supplies. We always have to turn down orders. And of course, we have been doing this durian business for past 15 years. I have to service and provide my customer with me from Australia for the past 15 years. They will be my first priority because they have been selling this 15 years ago. And my customers from US, Canada, they have placed their orders up front, ahead, a year before. With this up and coming news going around, I believe more and more farmers are coming into the wagon to plant, to replace the current commodity of oil palm, rubber, into durian, because they know, despite the justification period of 5 years is long, but they believe durian will be the next commodity for the nation.
So with this injection of funds from Navis, what is going to be first on your list of things to do?
Okay, the initiative that will be on my first list is, well, rebranding. This is what I think I have neglected for over the years, that I have never done a proper branding. So with the funding coming in with sufficient of OPEX, we are going to do a huge branding. It's just like when you eat apples, you think of Washington. Well, orange, you think of Sunkist. Zebra, kiwis, right? Why Malaysia, we don't have this brand? So I have this dream that one day when you think of durian, right, you think of Hernan.
Okay. As you mentioned just now, one of the biggest issues that you have is supply. Why exactly is this a problem that you continue to have? Because under Hernan Corporation, you've got separate entities for the downstream business, the midstream business, as well as the upstream business. And you do have several thousand acres in Rawat Pahang of plantation. So why is it that you're still struggling with supply?
Well, with the current trend in China, people eating durian, is a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating Musang King, you are somebody that you can afford. You are rich people or you are someone with a higher class. Without us knowing, there are so much of durian exporting via Thailand into China. There are a few thousands of containers and few hundred thousand tons of durian exporting. We are only exporting less than 10% comparing to Thailand. So despite how much we are planting, we still couldn't cope with the demand. Somehow, the Musang King has its beautiful and special textures that the Chinese people loving it and crazy for it. People are flying in, taking a charter flight. People are coming in with full family just to eat durian under the durian tree. I mean, this is something really awesome. And indirectly, we are actually bringing tourism into Malaysia. So this is really, really, really awesome.
Maybe give us a picture of what kind of yields you see from your plantations, existing plantations in Bang.
Well, there is no actual data collected. Even, you know, there are so many plantations from small farmers to midstream, I mean, to middle scales. And, well, what I can see, you know, from what we have over the years, the percentage of increase in supply is from maybe 10 to 15% for over these few years. And
per
maybe,
year?
Per year, yeah. And we see in maybe another 3 to 5 years where the trees are matured. Everybody will start planting 5 years ago. Mm. We will have sufficient supply. Perhaps, you know, there will be more than enough for the Malaysian to actually to enjoy the Musang King, where they used to blame me that, you know, the price of durian has gone up and they don't have a chance to indulge in such a beautiful clones of durian in Malaysia. But I believe the price will be more stabilized and everybody will get a chance to enjoy the beautiful Musang King.
Yeah, because that was one of the questions that I was going to ask you. Because the conventional wisdom is that, you know, Malaysians here, we do love to eat durian. And over the past couple of years, as we've seen this demand rise from China, we do have entities, like yourself, who export durian to China. And the blame seems to have fallen on you in the sense that you are the reason that there's not enough supply for the Malaysian market. Therefore, prices are going up, sometimes more than tenfold in some areas.
Yeah, but not only me and the rest of my competitor or my associates. Well, we actually create the market for it. And we do actually, you know, bring most of the best quality durian for export market. Because that definitely bring a very good GDP for the country. And that definitely bring more opportunity for the farmers. Well, I have seen over the years the farmers has actually upgraded their lifestyles and their incomes are much better. And everybody seems to look at this durian as the future, their dream, you know, that something they can hope on for the next commodity for the country as well as the farmers. They are choosing durian because they believe the durian is their future. That they can rely on, that they can pass on to their family, you know, from generation to generation, because the durian tree can live for more than 60 years.
And yet, when you look into some of your books, so Henan Corporation itself does about 44 million in revenue as of December last year. But under Henan Corporation, there's also Henan Farms, which is your upstream business. And that has been consistently loss-making. Why is that?
Well, it takes a few years to get the tree grown. So the initial investments, you must...
I mean,
must,
but it's initial investments going back 5 years. It's loss-making every year.
Because we are converting our farm from the durian kampung or durian D24 to Musang King. So the justification time, we need to wait for it. So you need to brace. You need to be patient. But of course, you know, the more we invest in, so definitely the numbers... Well, you will see the money is actually coming from the farm.
Okay, so at what point do you expect Henan Farms to be profitable, or will your profits mainly still be derived from your downstream and midstream businesses?
Well, I think both. So for, you know, when the time for the durian tree to get matured, so we would think that the best time to get our return will be in 7 to 8 years. Well, we're talking about downstreams, so it is shorter, definitely. So what I see for my side of my business, or my view, the midstream and downstreams, definitely we can get our return on investment in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but upstream, there will be a long justification. So it depends. So we usually split the two business. So it's much easier for us to digest, as well as, you know, for the investments, investors to look into it. And yeah.
And we'll be continuing this conversation in just a little while. I'm speaking with Anna Teo, CEO of Hernan Corporation. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Anna Teo, CEO of Hernan Corporation, one of the biggest durian exporters in the country. Now, Anna, earlier we were talking a little bit about your plans in regards to China, since it is one of the major sources of demand now for durians going into the near future, as well as your company's acquisition by Navis Capital, which is a PE firm which manages about $5 billion worth of equity. Now, Navis has come in to say that they are willing to inject about 400 million ringgit into your operation. Where exactly are they going to be fitting into this picture? Is it in the upstream business or the downstream business or somewhere in between?
Well, I think they would definitely will be in the upstream for now, because I have done all my investment initially before they came in. So I have injected about 35 million ringgit for my upgrading of my factories, my IR4, my automations. But I'm solely depending on Navis to come in for the upstream, mm-hmm. as this is a big, huge investment. For what we have mentioned about Henan Farm, it's actually my hobby farm. It's not sufficient for me to export it for the whole entire market. So when I speak to Navis, I tell them, I can get a lot of money from a lot of investors. I need a partner. I need a partner to help me in my upstream, to help me, to support me when there's a big MNC or GLC from China that they want to take a huge order from me, or I can sign a contract with them if Navis has a huge plantation. So that would definitely enlighten my liabilities as well as my stress. So yeah, this is what they are going to form, maybe an SVB that, you know, they will invest into agribusiness.
And because they've said that they're going to be acquiring about 10,000 acres worth of plantation farms. So this will be under the SPV that you mentioned.
Yeah, we will have our plant. So that will be definitely one of the plant, that 10,000 acres, but they have they are looking into now 4,000 acres with some companies in Malaysia. We have land bank owner, which is already start planted. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and of course, we are welcome, you know, anybody with plantations, and they have their family, you know, durian farm, to come in and work with us together, because this is impossible for me alone to come in to tell that, you know, I want to take the whole Malaysian durian for exports. And this is definitely collaborations from all parties. So we can do contract farming. We are currently very traditional, which I'm trying to eliminate all this traditional way of collectors and stuff like that. So if anybody with their family land already planted with durians and they do not know how to manage, mm-hmm. one thing good about Navis is they have all the knowledge, and they are doing...
In durian farming?
Yeah, and you don't underestimate Navis. They really want to do it, they really go down. And I have my investor, Nick Bloyd, go down to the farm and start planting and understand the climate, you know, the cultivation.
So in terms of the full 10,000 acres that they've said that they want to bring to the table, you said they're looking at 4,000 right now. When do you think you'll see the full 10,000?
Well, they really need to know. They can't just come in and acquire anybody, and they must make sure the plantation must be good. You know, they are implementing IR4. They are putting drone. They are doing AI. They are collecting data, which is, I think, none of the farmers are doing such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe another 5 years, they can. I believe they can complete the whole entire acquisitions, and I believe they can do it because they have the capability of doing it.
And of course, you mentioned AI and IR 4.0, and this was one of the things that Navis did say they wanted to bring into the business, the technological capability.
Yeah, because believe it, some of the farmers, they don't even have a proper irrigation system. and they are going to do automations, and they're going to do more than what, beyond what we know. So they are bringing, you know, consultant technology from abroad. So believing it, they can do it. Yeah, they also study, you know, what have been done in Thailand, in Taiwan. So we need that kind of experts to actually tell us why our durian, you know, what kind of technology, what kind of support we need for improving our agribusiness.
And how much, so you earlier said that currently you see yield improvements of about 10 to 15% a year. How much more do you think that the introduction of this technology can improve it by?
Well, based on what I have joined in for discussions, perhaps they can do 30 to 40% increase, because they have studied and they have the data, and they bring in professors to come, you know, to bring us the best technology so that we would like to shorten the cultivations and, in fact, the best yield, you know, comparing all these years that we have only get once or twice. Perhaps they can done it for three times. We are hoping for that.
And in the meantime, though, plantations, durian farming particularly, is one of the areas which can be quite labour-intensive, because durians can't right now be plucked by machines. And since we saw in Budget 2020, we saw a minimum wage rise to 1,200 ringgit. Is this something that could potentially impact your bottom line?
Well, in upstream, that's something that we couldn't run away. Yeah, because as we understand that durian really, really needs a lot of manpower, because the cultivation isn't easy and it was on hilly side. And one thing good is we are trying to plant durian in a more modern way. Mm-hmm. And we are using some machines and stuff like that. But still, we can't run away from human from picking the durian, because as we know, the best durian is still from the mountain. Right? So, but of course, on our upstreams and midstreams, we Navis believe in automation.
Your downstream and midstreams.
Sorry, yeah, my downstream and midstreams. Yeah, so we have been getting in technologies as well as machines. And the good part I would like to share here is our downstreams. We have eventually upskilled to six times our capacity from the previous before Navis coming in.
And this is the new factory in Bunca Alam, right?
Yes, it's really awesome. And they believe in products, you know, innovations. And they allowed me to invest into a gelato line that costs more than 8 million ringgit. So it's a dream. I never thought that one day I'll buy a product, a full production automation line that costs me 8 million. And they believe in it. And they say, go ahead, you know. The Chinese will love the Malaysian durian gelato. Well, this is something that I really, really amazed, you know, with what they believe in, what I believe.
And, okay, so these are all factors, of course, that we can control. One factor that we generally cannot control at the moment is climate change. And we've had conversations here on The Breakfast Grill with academics who will say that that we're expecting global temperatures to rise 3 degrees within the next 10 years. And how is that something that Hernan has a strategy to deal with?
Well, I believe Navis has come to a point that, you know, they have bring in experts, you know, to studies and to give them some data. And a good investment in irrigation system, a proper irrigation system, but we can't change the climate, but definitely the irrigation system would definitely help. And one thing good about durian is it doesn't need to be really cold, but it really need to be hot. When it droughts, more flowers and more durians. But during the 100 days, a proper irrigation need to be done. So, well, this is under control. So with all these modern technologies and stuff like that, I think we can counter that problem.
Okay, and what about also just competition? Because you've touched on the fact that Thailand is a major durian producer. Our exports are a fraction of a percent of the market in comparison to them. But we also have players, for example, in Darwin, Australia, which are coming up to be durian producers in their own right. So, you know, how do you mitigate the threat proposed by all of these players and maintain market share?
Well, I never thought Darwin going to be our competitor because the cost of the labour is impossible. But definitely Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia,
mm-hmm.
they definitely have the potential to outright
threaten.
Yeah. But somehow, Musang King is still the best, it's still from Pahang. So Raub is still the region for Malaysian Musang King. So it definitely played a part for climate, you know, for the whole entire geographical Malaysian soil and land is still the best. And people are recognizing it. This is what I can share. And the Chinese people in China, they said, is this from Raub? They asked. They know the best Malaysian durian is from Raub. They never ask this durian, is it from Kelantan or from Sabah, Sarawak? But they know the best durian is from Raub. And they purposely fly down to Malaysia, get a coach or get someone to chauffeur them to Raub to see what is the real place for the Malaysian best Musang King.
All right. And for a final question, Anna, now that Navis has come in, you know, what are your plans for a listing? You know, will we be seeing Hernan Corporation on the LEAP or the ACE market anytime soon?
Well, this is a good question. Yes, we have planned. Definitely, Navis will be coming in with their fund with us for 5 years or maybe a little bit more. Once we achieved what we should, Navis definitely will tag along or maybe take us for IPO. We're not sure at this moment, but we know there is definitely a good plan ahead waiting for us. And
3 years, 5 years, 10?
Maybe we will think, to be safe, I think 5 years, where there will be a potential maybe a buyer from overseas or maybe from China. We are not sure, but we are focusing and we are very determined what we want to do in these 5 years.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show this morning, Anna.
Thank you, Lynn, and have a pleasant day.
I've been speaking with Anna Teo, CEO of Hernan Corporation. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.